Wow, so quiet. Man, what's happening? All right, good morning, everybody. We are in Ruth for a couple more weeks, and then we'll be out. But it's been good. I like it, yeah. Ruth chapter 3. We'll finish up chapter 3 this morning. Ruth chapter 3, verse 14. So the subject is, I mean, the typologies are, and the illustrations in the book of Ruth just keep coming. There's so much good, I don't know, layers of meaning through this book. And foreshadowing, things like that. And so, at the end of chapter 3, Boaz is going to make a promise and then give assurance to Ruth and to Naomi of future redemption. And there's going to be an assurance that redemption is going to happen one way or another. And so, that said, there is just some real good correlation to Christianity, to the way the Lord handles believers. And so Ruth chapter 3, verse 14, let's read to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to give you a couple things about the assurance of redemption. The assurance of redemption. So Ruth chapter 3, verse 14, if you got it there, we'll start reading. It says, and she lay at his feet, this is Ruth laying at Boaz's feet. She lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. She went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty into thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, till thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Just a note, in verse 16, when Naomi asks, who art thou, my daughter-in-law, who art thou? That's a simple way of saying, or a more complicated way of saying, I should say. It's a way of saying, are you a missus now? I mean, did he propose? Are you a missus now? Do we have a missus now? And so that's what she's saying. It's not like she doesn't know who Ruth is. But she knows why Ruth went to talk to Boaz. She had given instruction. Naomi had given Ruth instruction on all that. And so when Ruth comes home, Naomi is excited and she wants to know if we have now a future missus in the house. And that's what Naomi's asking in there. So just a little explanation there, but let's pray. And I'm going to give you 3 things and then some application on the assurance of redemption, the assurance of redemption. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for each soul that's here. There's several watching and some traveling. I pray that you keep them safe as they're traveling. Maybe some that are not feeling too good. I know Tommy didn't have a good night. I pray that you'd help him with his breathing and with his health. And for those of us here, Lord, that you'd help us get what we need out of your words. And for those that have been invited, I pray that come. I pray that folks that do come that aren't saved, I pray they'd understand their need for Jesus Christ and get saved. And then for the teachers in the back, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just to kind of catch you up on the storyline, I think most of you know it, but Boaz has offered and invited Ruth to glean in his fields, and more than that, he's given her, because of her faithfulness, because he recognizes some character traits in Ruth that he doesn't see in other people, he has really taken an interest in Ruth. And Ruth then has been instructed by Naomi on how to approach Boaz, because it's come to light that Boaz is a near kinsman and can possibly redeem all the inheritance of Naomi and then bring up, you know, children and stuff like that to enjoy the inheritance that is in her family. And so all that said, Ruth has obeyed Naomi. She went to Boaz, and there's a conversation that goes on earlier in chapter 3. Boaz realizes and knows he's the kinsman and has this opportunity to redeem Ruth, redeem Naomi's inheritance, and raise up children. But that's going to require him buying land and marrying Ruth. And so, but he's willing to do it. He is perfectly willing to do all that. And he recognizes in Ruth a faithfulness, and he's a gracious man. So you see those two things at work, his grace and her faithfulness. And so those two things come together, and Boaz has a lot of similarities to Jesus Christ and the things that he's attracted to. And so that all said, you come to this point now, they've had the conversation about marriage, about redemption, and Boaz has agreed to it. He is fully prepared to do whatever needs to be done for Ruth and Naomi. And so with that said, he tells them he's willing, and he will make sure that this thing gets done. This redemption will happen for him. But he doesn't send Ruth away empty-handed. In the verses we just read, what Boaz has done is he has given Ruth some assurance that what he said and what he's promised is true. And so he sends Ruth back with some barley. And essentially, this is a token of my assurance of my intentions with you. So, three things that I notice in here that are really, really neat correlations to the way Jesus Christ has a relationship with a Christian, with a saved soul. First thing is what we just mentioned here. Boaz gives proof of redemption, and that comes in the form of these measures of barley. He says, verse 14, she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. He said, let it not be known that a woman came unto the floor. Also, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her, and she went into the city. So this is the token. This is the proof of a future redemption and a future hope. And so there's some good stuff in Romans about this. Let me show you. Look in Romans chapter 8 and how this relates to a child of God, saved soul. In Romans chapter 8, you've got a token of redemption. Now, I'm curious for Sunday school. When a soul is saved, when a person trusts Jesus Christ, what does God give that person to assure them of their future? Holy Spirit, yeah. It's the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what you get, the Holy Spirit of promise. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the Redeemer, Boaz, the kinsman, and Jesus Christ, their voice, their promises are not, they're not supposed to be fearful. They're not supposed to be scary. They are assuring their confidence, and they're like the Bible says about Daniel, they dissolve doubt. And so if there's a promise of this, with the Spirit of God. I think it's just a thought here. It's kind of weird sometimes, I think, how we and people view the ordinance of God and the things and the plans of God. For instance, the world, maybe I should say it this way, the world views the words of God, the plans of God, the ordinances of God, the law of God, for instance, in marriage as a burden. It's just a burden. And so, these things that God has put together, the world has successfully made into, made people to believe that these things are burdensome. They're nuisances, and you just need to throw off the bonds that God has created, and then you'll be a free person. But the reality is, God creates these bonds and these ordinances and these things so people can enjoy life, so they can enjoy things, so they can enjoy living. And so we've got it backwards. It's the words of the kinsman and the establishing thoughts and perspectives and just the promises of the kinsman are assurances. They're helpful. And in the New Testament, as far as correlating what Boaz did with Ruth, the way Jesus Christ handles a believer, you get the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is the spirit of promise that says, look, I have a future intention with you. I have a future intention with you. You haven't got the whole thing yet, but I'm going to give you the whole thing in the future. In the meantime, here's a little token of what's to come. Here's a little token of what's to come. And so, like it says in Romans 8:15, which we just read, you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Yeah, nothing is fearful about what's happened with Ruth and Boaz. Boaz is a comforting, assuring source of help, just like Jesus Christ. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. One other note on this. I thought about doing a whole lot on the adoption part of this, but I've noticed that we read the word adoption and think of it in the same terms that maybe the word is used today. And I've noticed it being applied to, okay, well, the Jews are this, they have a relationship with God, and then the Gentiles are adopted in, but that's not how the Bible uses the word. Adoption is actually defined in this chapter in Romans 8. Let's keep reading. Just as a note, so you understand how the Bible uses the word adoption. In verse 23, says this, Romans 8:23, says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, okay, there's the token of redemption, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All right, so what is the adoption, according to that verse? Yeah? It's the redemption of the body. You're waiting for the redemption of the body. You're saved. You have the Spirit of God in you. And on a regular basis, you groan within yourself because you're wrapped in this flesh that is always opposed to God, always going to be opposed to God. It's a dying flesh. And yet God has left you wrapped in this thing until such a time where he changes the corruptible into something incorruptible. That is the adoption. That is the redemption of the body. And so that's what you're waiting on. So you don't have the adoption yet. You're waiting on it. And in the meantime, what you have as a saved soul, if you're saved, is you have the spirit of adoption, which is what you just read about in Romans 8:15, the spirit of adoption. All right, so the adoption is defined as it's the redemption of the body, and that's what we're dealing with, assurances of redemption. So New Testament, you got the Spirit of God as the spirit of promise, the token of assurance that God has a future with this soul. Just like Boaz with Ruth, he gives her 6 measures of barley, saying, along with this promise, here is the assurance that I am going to do what I told you I'm going to do with you. And then the second part is, kind of goes along with what we just read about the body and the changing and all that stuff. I thought it was interesting what Boaz puts the token in. It's the thing that, well, let's verse 15, back in Ruth chapter 3, he says, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. When she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. So what does Boaz put the token into? The veil, the thing that covers Ruth. So she takes the veil, the thing that she's covered in, and holds it out, and Boaz pours this barley into the thing that covers her. Well, I thought, that's perfect. That's exactly the way the Lord does it. He doesn't put the token in a basket. He puts the token in the thing that you're covered in. Your flesh, your body. And so the veil, like the veil of Jesus Christ's flesh, or his flesh is the veil. It's like the veil. And so Boaz puts the token in the thing that covers Ruth. He says, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. He didn't say, bring a basket, bring a wheelbarrow or whatever. Bring me the thing that covers you, and I will put the token in the thing that covers you. So I hope it's making sense. But the thing that covers you is your flesh. And when a soul is saved, when a soul trusts Jesus Christ, receives eternal life, God puts that assurance in the thing that covers you. It's in you. So you just read about it over in Romans. He said in Romans 8:23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves. That's where the assurance is. We have this assurance in ourselves, yet we're wrapped in this trouble. That's what we're wrapped in. And so the thing that covers you, that's the veil that's just like in Ruth, where she brings the veil and he fills the veil with the assurance. I'll give you a couple more here. let's see. Look in Galatians chapter 4. I'll give you this. This is cool. It's I don't know. I find it very, very neat, all the layers of meaning in the book of Ruth, all the things that just keep shedding light on truths and how the Lord works. So cool. Galatians chapter 4. So here's the Spirit being put into the veil, the person. Here it is, Galatians 4:6. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. What does he do? He puts it in the veil. Into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's awesome. That's good. And so, just like the way that Boaz promises and makes an assurance to Ruth, hey, what I've said, I fully intend to do. And in fact, I'm not going to leave you to go home and just listen to what I've said. Let me give you some assurance that what I've said, I'm going to do. So here is some barley, and I'm not going to put it in a basket. Bring me the veil that's covering you, and I will put the assurances in the veil. That's perfect. It's so good. Just like the way Jesus Christ does, just like the way the Holy Spirit works. He's poured out into our hearts if you're saved. And so just like Boaz puts the proof in the veil, God the Father puts the proof into the veil of flesh, you and me, the thing that wraps us up. And that is something that's just, you know, you and I, though we feel like it so often, you and I, we are not our bodies. We have bodies, but that's not what we are. And it can be very deceptive. Because sometimes you can't make a distinction between, is this my body thinking or is this me thinking? Is this my body saying something or is this an actual thought that's a real thought that's a good thought? And so you have this, it's in Colossians where he talks about the circumcision of the flesh and the body of sin being put off and the word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword and dividing between and discerning between thoughts and intents. And what it does is that word of God is able to discern and to tell you, hey, this thought, this is a body thought. This is a thought that came from your flesh. This isn't a good thought. And this over here, this is a good thought. But absent of that kind of light and that kind of separation and discernment and that sharp sword that is able to separate these things, absent of that, it's near impossible to figure out, is this a good thought? Is this a bad thought? Where did this come from? Because so often, I mean, we're so tied together with and so connected to our bodies that it's almost indistinguishable. It's like I feel this way, and is it good? Is it bad? And it's the ability to step away and be objective and look at things from God's perspective is something you get from the words of God. Something you can step back and say, you know what? That's something that came out of my fleshy mind. That's something that came out of my carnal heart. That's not a good thought. And so, as much as we feel like it, oftentimes, as much as we feel like we are our bodies, we're not our bodies. We are wrapped in bodies. We have bodies, and what you are is a living soul. That's what you are. So, that all said, in addition to Boaz giving, back to Ruth, in addition to Boaz giving assurance of this redemption, he puts the assurances in the veil, and it's noticeable that what Boaz puts into the veil is just a smaller piece of what's to come. It's just a little bit of the future. That's what he does. And so he gives her 6 measures of barley, laid it on her. She went into the city, came to her mother-in-law. And so the third point is this. The token is not the full blessing. It's a small piece of the future. And I got to thinking about that. And I think in this life, I can remember a few times where you feel like you're sort of on the mountaintop. You know, you just have this really good, close, relationship with the Lord, and you just feel like really close to Him. And I mean, it's just a real sense of relationship and joy and hope. And then I think, you know what? As good as it gets down here, as good as that is just a small piece of the future. That's the highest mountaintop here on earth is still the floor of heaven. It's still just the basement. And I just, that's so incredible. When Ruth receives this little token, it's like Boaz is saying, all right, here's the future. And here's just a piece of the future. It's not the whole thing. It's just my assurance that my promises are true. I put it in the veil, and it's just a little small piece of what's to come. And I'll give you a couple verses on that because it's so good. It's just like what Paul says about the, how does he say it? The sufferings of this present time are just, they're just not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I mean, that is so good. That is the hope. I'll give you a couple of verses on this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 1 says, for we know, 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That's the truth. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. It's kind of a hypothetical. It's like, you know, he's going to clothe you. You're going to have, there's a future. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There you go. It's, you know, I read that and it's like, so the thing that really separates me from the Lord is my body. That's the problem. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when I get rid of this mortal, corruptible, sinful thing that I'm wrapped in, man, I can't even imagine the glory that is the future, a future that is without sin, without blemish, any of those things. And I don't know, we just, and there's no... there's no way of escaping it, really. But we are so used to living life under a curse. That's just, I mean, that's how we conduct our lives. We have to. And I try to think about the future and sometimes what Paul said, and he said, some of these things I just can't describe because it's not an experience I can relate to. I can't relate this to anything on earth of the future, of what's to come. And so it makes me think, okay, what I've got here, what the Lord has allowed me to have and allowed you to have if you're saved, is just a little taste, just a small, small taste of a future. And the hope that I experience and the confidence that I experience and the joys that I experience, as high as they are still just below heaven. I mean, they're still just below. They don't even reach to the future glory. And so, I mean, it's such a it's incredible, just incredible. And Ruth, Boaz puts a small token there, just a small token of the future, just the way the Lord Jesus Christ does it with us. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. I'll give you one more in the New Testament here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. This is great. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." There it is. That's the token. The Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. And y'all know what that means. That is the down payment. That is just the sign of the intention, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That's what you're looking for. What does Jesus Christ say? I think it's in Luke. And he says, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." That's the change of the body. That's the corruptible being made incorruptible. That's the redemption. That's the full purchase of the possession. And so back in Ruth, there's some incredible analogy to all of this. And so with these things in mind, Boaz gives proof of the redemption and the future with Ruth. Boaz puts that proof in the veil. Boaz, the proof is just a small token of the future. And what it does for Ruth. What is this going to do? Because that's the reality. In a Christian's life, a person who has trusted Jesus Christ, you have this confidence. And the point is, it's going to do something for you now. Now it's going to do something. Here's these promises. Here's all of these things that God has poured into you and saying, look, you and me have a future. And therefore, this should produce something in you now. So here's what it does. A couple things. It gives Ruth a clean testimony. I noticed what he said there when Boaz asked Ruth, you know, go back, take this measures of meal back to Naomi and enjoy it. And one of the things he says is, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. So just let's make sure this, because nothing's happened here. And I read some commentaries that are talking about trying to figure out what happened here. Nothing happened here. They had a conversation about marriage is what happened. And so that's all that happened. And so what Boaz is going to instruct Ruth to do is make sure there's no sense of impropriety here. I don't want there to be a bad testimony about you and me. And so that's what he produces in Ruth. He produces a clean testimony in Ruth. Another thing he does, he'll give Ruth enough for her and for those that are in her care. She'll have enough for the present time until the redemption. She'll have enough until the redemption takes place for her and those that are under her care. And I think about this when the Lord said to Paul one time, Paul asks that the thorn be taken away. Y'all know the story. What does the Lord say? He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. What I've provided is sufficient for you and those in your care until the redemption, until that time." And so Boaz, what he gives to Ruth is enough for her and for those in her care until the redemption. And I think that's why he gives her as much as he gives her, because I guess the redemption and the plans and all this stuff are going to be solidified in the next couple of days. And so he gives her enough to provide for her and Naomi until the redemption takes place. Perfect. Perfect. My grace is sufficient for thee. I love it. And then this, Boaz gives Ruth something that gives her really the ability to have patience until the redemption. So Boaz has not only made a promise and given her a token of this promise, but these things that Boaz has given to Ruth give her the opportunity to now wait until such a time that redemption happens. And so this is patience. I read about it in the New Testament. It says, therefore you have need of patience. Well, you have all of the equipment to have patience. You have everything you need. You have everything you need to know about the future. All of those things that the Lord gives to a saved soul, you are fully equipped to now wait on the redemption, to now wait for the Lord. And like I think about the, I think we talked about it maybe as last week, but like the helmet and the hope of salvation, these things, they're confidence. They are, they should provide enough help so that you don't get anxious about what's going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. Now you can serve God confidently. Now you can serve God faithfully without wondering whether I'm going to fall, whether this is going to not work out, or what's going to happen here. No, all of those things are removed from the table. Lord says, yes, you're taken care of. Yes, I will take care of it. Now serve me confidently with assurance, because that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to go around wondering whether this is true or whether you have eternal life or whether this is going to work out. No, I want to make sure you are fully equipped to have the patience you need to endure the things you need. Therefore, I'm going to send you a comforter who will help you through these things. So this is the assurances that Boaz gives to Ruth. There's three of them really in these few verses. But the application is what it produces. When Boaz does this, what it produces in the recipient, what it produces in Ruth. It produces a clean testimony. It produces enough for Ruth to take care of not only her, but those that are in her care. And then it also produces patience in Ruth. Now, you know what the last verse in chapter 3 is? It says this. Then said she, Naomi says to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. So Ruth, your help is no longer needed. Now, the kinsman is going to do the work, and your job is just let the kinsman do the work now. That's your job. Wait on the Lord. There it is. So, some great, great typologies here, and the assurance of redemption, and how that work between Boaz and Ruth and Naomi, but how that fits into the relationship a believer has with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And so it's a great, great typology. So I hope that's helpful. Let's wrap it up. We'll pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for these words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you so much for the future, for not only giving us a future, but explaining it and fully equipping us to do what we need to do here and now. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. I do again pray for those that are sick that you'd heal up their bodies, those that are traveling, get home safe. And thank you so much for the free gift of eternal life. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.